So many good memories have been made over the years between me and my dad and you know that father-son hunting bond. But now looking at this property and the family aspect of it, I see even more memories to come, you know, than have already even been made, and I can't wait. It's gonna be awesome.
Oh, you got her, dude. She's down. Let's go.
Dude, I just shot a deer of a lifetime.
Freaking smoked him.
One with nature, and if you're a believer, one with God.
Definitely gets your heart pumping.
Boy, you are in trouble.
Fall Obsession Podcast.
What's happening, guys? Welcome back. Another Fall Obsession podcast episode driven by our friends over at Elite Archery. I am Sam with Fall Obsession, your Fall Obsession podcast host, and I appreciate you guys joining us again for another week's episode. This is a part two. We've done this a couple times in the past, and it seems to have worked out pretty good, just taking those longer conversations, those longer episodes, and splitting them over a couple, just to kind of give you guys a little bit more content and spread out a little bit more. So this conversation is the follow-up to last week's conversation between myself, our media production manager, Nick Powell, and our marketing manager, Drew Tordick. This was an in-house podcast just with our own guys. It is a super casual, laid-back conversation. We're just talking hunting. We're talking about our properties, and we're talking about what it's going to take for all of us this year to kill a big deer. So it's a really good conversation. If you haven't heard part one yet, go back and listen to it. It's the episode right before this one. And beyond that, this is part two. So we are going to pick it back up right where the conversation left off last week, talking about our Texas properties, Drew and his Minnesota property, and again, what each of us are doing this year to hopefully put a big deer on the ground. Listen in.
Kind of different tactics and different styles. It's interesting to see.
Is that a fire truck at your place, Drew?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
No, I'll mute myself. Nick, you can talk about VAPL.
Well, the cool thing about VAPL is, like Sam was saying earlier, they have a corn additive. And this corn additive is probably the size of a 1 liter Coke. I mean, if you know, everybody, I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with the size of a 1 liter Coke, a Coca-Cola, like a bottle of soda. Or
it's
whatever.
Smaller than that.
You think so?
I had it in my hand last weekend. It's smaller than a liter of Coke. Man, it's a bag. Like, it's only like 8 to 10 inches tall, and you can hold and fit it in one hand, and it's just powder is all it is. But they say in the direction,
maybe
half a liter. It says, you know, they say it treats like 2,000 pounds of corn or something ridiculous like that. It's crazy.
So it lasts a long time, and then they have the attractant to keep them coming back, pretty much, and then they also have a scent cover, and it's genius how they actually came up with their system and how their system actually works, because they have an attractant that smells like green apple, they have the corn additive that smells like green apple, but they also have a scent cover you can spray before you go in that smells like green apple, and you can spray your clothes with it. And then they have a wind checker that smells like green apple. And so that the deer are very familiar with this smell already. And so if you put it all over your stuff, they're never going to know you're there.
So it's interesting, because I was going to touch on almost the exact same thing too. And just consistency in what you're feeding or what you have on your property. Folks will talk about, you know, how, well, deer have never tasted a green apple before. How are they supposed to know what that tastes like or anything? Well, a kid may have never had a certain type of candy before, but you give it to them, they're going to like it. You know, it's a similar concept. And, you know, once they get a taste for it, they're familiar with it. It's something that they know is out there. And to your point exactly, Nick, if you stay within VAPL's range of products, or we are partnering with VAPL, we're very thankful to have that be the case. I know there's plenty of other companies out there that guys might use, and it's applicable to other guys, companies who might be doing a similar thing, you know, but we use VAPL, and that's how their system is set up, to where, you know, if you run their full line of products, your scents are consistent, whether it's in your feed, your cover scents, your wind checkers, any of that stuff. It's all consistent and it's not foreign to the deer. And again, we're starting literally from square one, the first feeder on the property. We're running VAPL from day one. So it's going to be a familiar concept to the deer from here on out. So,
yeah, and I've never been in a big scent eliminator, scent cover, like I've never bought any other scent covers before this. And so this will be my first year actually using a scent cover of any kind in the deer stand. And so I've used the attractants and everything like that, but I've never used an actual scent cover. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the results look like this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Same here. Well, so we talked about these bow setups. I'm going to touch real quick on the remainder of the property and some stuff on our cameras as well. And then, Nick, I'll throw it to you for anything else that you have to add. But as we alluded to in our previous podcast, I really think that there's two real different distinct spots in this property. There's the southern end of this property that's going to be good for bow hunting and bow stand setups, and then there's the northern end of this property with more power lines, more wide open areas, more hills, that's going to be good for rifle hunting. And for those who don't know, the people that are on this property, it's Nick, his dad, my dad, and then me. So there's four of us on here. Nick and I are bow hunters, and both of our dads are rifle hunters. So it's really going to be pretty awesome to be able to set up and have the best of both worlds, if you will, and have our dads be able to have some decent rifle stand setups. I went through, I haven't put any rifle blinds or any feeders or anything like that. I know we're late to the game too on everything, but we're doing the best with what we got to work with this year. But I'm actually heading out here next week. It will already happen at the point that this episode's coming out, but my dad and I are going back out there to get some of his rifle stuff set up too, so that we at least have something in place a little bit before the season kicks off here. But all as to say, there's two distinct areas that are going to be good for two different types of hunting, and it's really cool that the property has that to offer. You know, I think it's going to be really good for us. And two, the rifle hunters can be on the northern end of the property, and they can be in their own, you know, bullet slinging world up there and really not disturb anything in the archery world on the south side is what's pretty cool, the way the property is laid out and the topography. So I'm pretty happy about that too. But real quick on our cameras too, because I know I've mentioned several times, you know, getting these updates on where deer are, and I haven't come out and said it, but this year is my first year as a hunter running the cell cameras, the cellular ones. And we are not, for full disclosure for our listeners' sake, we are not affiliated with any, at the time of this podcast, with any trail cam company. So these are trail cams that we have bought with our own money based on the opinions of others. So this year we got some Spy Point cameras out there, and you know, Spy Point, I'm going to say that I'm a fan because it's been great so far. The setup has been easy. Granted, with like any cell camera, you got to have at least a little bit of cell service in the area, you know, to be able to get some coverage and be able to receive your pictures. But again, I mentioned at the beginning of the episode how we want to have the, you know, I want to get all the bow stuff set up as much as possible so that we can stay out of that area with that big deer in there as much as possible, you know, because that's how we're going to kill a big buck, is doing the recon remotely, you know, with something like that. We're using technology to our advantage. So the trail camera that I got that picture of that big buck on, that I had a Wild Game Innovation camera out there. I moved that camera and I swapped it with a Spy Point so that we can get cell pics of that spot every single day, so we know when that deer's in there and what time and what he's doing. We get live updates. And then obviously the bow blind setup that we have, that's also a cell camera. And then the other cell cameras are kind of mixed with card pulls, but we're, like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, we're going to be moving them throughout the property and trying to do as much recon and gather as much intelligence as we can. A lot of people like to find a good spot, you know, put it on a trail and they start seeing deer there. They're like, oh, I'm going to keep that camera there. There's deer there. Well, for me, that's been my thought process, you know, on the smaller properties that I've hunted up till now is, you know, oh, I got a spot with some deer. I'm going to keep a camera there to see what's coming in. This first year on this property, that whole mentality is being changed, because now I'm putting a camera up on a trail, I'm seeing deer on that trail, I'm moving that camera because now I know there's deer there. Now I know the deer are traveling there. I have an idea of, okay, there's, you know, I got a bunch of 2.5, 3.5 year old bucks walking the trail. I got does, I got pigs, but now I want to learn about somewhere else. So now I got to pack that camera up and move it somewhere else so that we can figure out what's going on somewhere else on the property. And it's not, you know, it's not your, like I said, your traditional way of thinking of, okay, there's deer here. Let's watch this area. No, we have to learn as many areas as we can. We only have so many cameras to do it with. And honestly, I feel like we have a lot of cameras probably for, you know, a group of guys, at least more on a property than I've ever seen. I know between you and your dad and me, I know we probably have over 10 out there, you know, not all cell cams, but still cameras. So, but moving them around, gathering intel and trying to figure out where stuff is and what's going on. That's how it happens, and you got to move cameras to be able to do that. So
that's a good point that you talk about the mentality changing. And I feel like because this property was so, we were so unfamiliar with it, we didn't know, nobody really knew if they were, they knew like the neighboring properties were being hunted, but this property had never been hunted before. So they didn't know what kind of activity it had. And in the past, at least for me, we've been a little bit familiar with, okay, we know there's deer here, let's see what kind of deer are here. Yeah. So we won't keep the cameras in the same place where, like, exactly like you said, we don't know where the deer are moving, and because nobody's familiar with this property, so we have to move them around and keep them mobile in order to figure out how these deer are moving so we can pattern them correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna, like I said, recon intelligence, year one, honestly, a lot in year two as well. And then year two to year three is going to be where we start figuring out more permanent setups. Those setups where you, it's classic, you know, it's your favorite stand, you know, that kind of stuff. And then you can start incorporating food plots and all that other kind of stuff into it. That's year two, year three. Year one, year two is recon and intelligence. And that's where we're at right now. So far, I feel like we're doing a pretty good job. I'm really excited to get back out there actually with my dad, get his rifle setup going, and move some more cameras around, you know, see what else is going on. I'm pretty excited. And one more thing to speak to the Spy Point. Again, we're not sponsored by Spy Point, but I've been pleased with the product so far. Again, spent our own money on it. But the photo quality, they have different settings and different plans and stuff that you can upgrade or pay for or however you want to do it to have the best quality photo that you can get. I have the medium quality. It tells me what I need to know about the deer. It's not the, you know, it's not the clearest, most high resolution photo in the world by any means, but it tells me what I need to know. And the transmission has been consistent. I've been doing just transmitting my photos once a day, at noon every day is what I've just been doing right now since it's not hunting season. I don't want to do multiple times a day. There's not really a reason to, not during the hunting season, and it just wears down the battery more by doing that. So, but I've been really pleased with it so far. I've actually had to upgrade a couple of my plans on my photos because the deer won't leave my feeder alone. So I keep getting pictures. So I had to upgrade my plan to be able to get a few more pictures. And in doing so, I actually had to reach out to Spy Point customer service too, to ask them a couple questions, and they were super helpful and got me squared away pretty quick. So nothing negative to say about them, man. Again, this is a product that we're not affiliated with. This is unbiased. This is it's a good product for the price, in my opinion. And if you're looking for a cell cam, it's one to check out. So
and I'll add to that and say that if any of our listeners have any contacts of game cameras or game camera companies, reach out, you know what I mean? We're always open.
Yeah, we're always open, we're always willing. And if you work for Spy Point, I'd love to talk to you. So
for sure, but
on that note, Spy Point also has, from hunter to hunter, Spy Point has a pretty cool referral program for hunters to be able to help each other out with referring stuff. So if you guys are gonna get a Spy Point and want to get it set up, when you activate it, there'll be an opportunity for you guys to put in a referral code or a referral email. And from doing so, you guys will actually get a discount off of some Spy Point products. Following that, if you put in a referral code when you activate your device, you can put in sam@fallobsession.com and save yourself some money in the future. Just throwing that out there. So, but anyway, I'll throw it to you, Nick, if you want to talk about your Anna property real quick and all that.
I wanted to mention one thing, and that's getting the family out there.
Yes.
My wife has never been a big hunter. She just hasn't had opportunity. And so being raised hunting and ever since I was a little kid, having two little boys now, I'm super excited to get them out there. Maybe not right now because they're only, 2 months old and 2 years old, but definitely in the years to come, we'll get them out there and, just have, because speaking about my Anna property, it's not a very target rich environment, but there are big deer for sure, but there's not many of them. And it's difficult with a small, because my property is really small. And so it's really difficult to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
With that being said, when my wife's going with me and there's not many targets to look at, it's not very exciting. So I'm excited to have this opportunity to get her out there and get her right in front of some deer and maybe shoot one where she can be there with me and maybe get her one if she likes it. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there. And I know you're in the same boat. So,
yeah, man, I'm in the same boat. The family side of it too, with having your own property like this is going to be really cool. Being able to have them out there. And like you said, have the boys and everything grow up and be able to become hunters themselves out there. And obviously it'll be documented along the way too, which will be awesome. But the property just has so much potential for family stuff, because we haven't even mentioned it, but there's three stock ponds on the property. So there's opportunities just to take the kids fishing. And stock ponds, you can look at it however you want. There's fish in there, you're gonna fish, you're gonna catch. Well, when you're teaching a kid to fish, that's pretty awesome, that they can be able to throw a line out there and actually catch a fish, have something to remember, have something to be excited about, want to go fishing, that for example. So my wife too, she's hunted before, she's never killed a deer, and I'm excited to hopefully this year be able to get her out there. She's got her bow, she's practicing everything, so she's wanting to stick one this year. So I'm hoping that we can get her a doe or something out there this first year. Or maybe a big buck, who knows? but
knowing our luck, she's gonna be the one to kill it.
Yeah, she's gonna hunt once and that freaking giant's gonna walk out in front of her. Yeah. But anyway, just being able to hopefully have her, she's kind of had a bad luck streak, in the hunting world. She's tried to hunt for a couple years now with no success, so I'm hoping that can change this year and be exciting for her. I am gonna have to buy a camper though, because we can't have any permanent structures on the property. That's the biggest rule right there. And my wife's not gonna sleep in a tent, so we're buying I was shopping campers today actually, so gonna have to do that.
Luckily this property isn't too far out in the boonies and it's actually just right outside of town, so
yeah,
if we have to get a hotel for the time being, that's probably what our plan's gonna be. But
worst case,
my wife's for sure not sleeping in a tent.
Yeah. Go ahead, Drew.
So like Nick said earlier, if anybody knows any camper reps and anybody wants to hook us up with a camper,
and
Nick and Sam are in the market.
So yeah, and soon, because I'm looking to buy pretty quick. So much appreciate if you know anything about them.
Man. Yeah, I got a question for both of you guys.
Yeah.
Sam, it was kind of a cool deal to see you and your dad at that staff hunt. Talk a little bit about what it means to be involved in a project like this. And I guess, Nick, you too, with your dad, and what that's like to have sort of a multi-generational thing going and something that eventually you'll be able to get your kids in on. That's a real cool deal.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. So I've grown up hunting with my dad. My dad's the one who got me into hunting, when I was like 6 years old. So I have so many awesome memories, more memories than any other point in my hunting life, pretty much, in my opinion, of, being a kid out there with my dad, camping in a tent on our deer lease in, Central Texas, and just it was an awesome lease. It was an awesome property. I really wish that having the knowledge I do now, that I could have been on that property now, you know, because it had so much potential, could have done so much more with it. But neither here nor there. Being able to hunt with my dad growing up and everything, and it's kind of a cool story too, because we, you know, I went from kid to teenager to, you know, young adult and everything, and as I grew up, I hunted with my dad less and less, you know. I mean, we still shared the hunting bond and everything, but we'd show up to go hunt and he would go to his stand and I would go to mine. You know, we never sat together, we never hunted together. And in 2017, I want to say, and we have the hunt on film actually too on our website, but was the first time in like a decade that I had gotten to actually sit in the same stand with my dad while he hunted in the hill country down in Texas and shot a big deer. And I was able to be there and film for him. That was the first time for me to kind of reconnect at that level with him and be able to sit in the same stand with them. And I miss that. You know, you don't realize how much you miss that until, in my opinion, until you did it again. I was like, holy crap, this has been forever since I got to do this with my dad. And then since then, you know, it's been a balancing act. We haven't had a lease. We've been searching for a lease in Texas. And I know in the last podcast where we talked about this property, we talked about how hard it is to find a deer lease in the state of Texas, or how expensive they are and how fortunate we are with the opportunity we have. So being able to finally be on a deer lease with my dad again, being able to share camp with them, being able to even just share the drive out there and back with him, you know. And I know there's, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm a bow hunter, he's a rifle hunter, so there's still going to be that aspect of him going to his stand, me going to mine. But we're back hunting together, you know. It's not me going off on a hunt in Montana while he stays home, or him being able to do this, or, you know, we're doing something together. We're participating in this together, and I'm super excited and super stoked for that. And then to add the multi-generational effect with my son, who's only 3 right now, but it won't be long at all before he's going to be out there this year. You know, we'll go camping or stuff like that, or, you know, take him to the pond, let him throw rocks, whatever he wants to do. But you know, it won't be long before he's actually in the deer stand, you know, and he's experiencing that. And I look forward to that, because I'm going to be able to look at that and see myself when I started, you know, at 6 years old. You know, I'm going to be able to remember that, and then to also have my dad out there on the same property, and to be able to send Wyatt and Pops, you know, out to go sit in a blind together or something like that. I know my dad's gonna eat that up too, you know. So it's, I'm looking forward to it, man. There's so many good memories have been made over the years between me and my dad, and you know, that father-son hunting bond. But now looking at this property and the family aspect of it, I see even more memories to come, you know, than have already even been made. And I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. And I'm going to basically echo everything that Sam just said, because it's pretty much exactly the same, just about, because my dad got me into it when I was knee high to a grasshopper, some would say, and I've been doing it ever since. And we've been fortunate enough to come across a lease. It wasn't ours, but we were given permission to hunt on it a few times. But that was kind of the same situation. It was over a decade ago. And so we were lucky in 2012 when Collin County, which is the county that we live in, started a bow season for the first time ever. And so me and my dad have kind of had that kind of bond that we've been able to hold on to, because we haven't had a lease like this. And so we've been able to put stands up and move stands around and make food plots and do all that stuff every year, because we put in all the hard work. And even though we haven't been successful, we've made memories, you know, dripping sweat down in the woods together. And we might not be sitting in a stand every single time, because we have little, you know, one-seater tripods or tree stands that we're hanging up. But just like Sam said, it's going to be it's just as cool to be sitting in a stand with a rifle with my dad again, and then also having my sons come up and hopefully loving it just as much as I did when I was that age. So,
yeah.
But like you said, I don't know what it is about throwing things into water that kids like, but they just freaking love it, man. Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, there will probably be a lot of that in the years to come. Yeah. Well, man, this has been an awesome conversation. I enjoyed it. You threw out your Anna property real quick, and we keep veering off, and it's all been good. It's been good veers. But you have a big deer on that place this year. Yes. Tell us about it.
So this deer, this is the second year in a row for sure that I've seen him. I'll have to go back and look through my pictures to see if we've gotten him on camera other years, but this is for sure the deer that we saw yesterday. There were pictures that we've posted last year around this time of this deer back, and he's even bigger than he was last year. So I don't know how well he's going to score. I mean, score's not all that big of a deal, but he's very large. He's got a split G2 on his right side, and it splits closer to the base. So he's got 6 on one side and 5 on the other. And he's probably only 16, 17 inches wide, but man, he's freaking tall and he's got a lot of mass. And so I know he's a big deer. And so if I could shoot that, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know.
Well, hopefully between the two of us and our dads or whatever, there'll be at least 2 big deer on the ground in some form or fashion by some combination of hunters somewhere. That's the goal. So,
man, I hope so. It's cool too, because like in Texas, there's a month of archery only season. It's like archery only season for like a month, and rifle or general season starts after that. And so my dad, he hunts with a crossbow because he's too old to pull the bow back. And then my little sister, she's not strong enough to pull the bow back, so she hunts with a crossbow as well. And Anna is where we hunt, and it's bow only. There's no rifles at all. And so they have it set up to where you can hunt with a crossbow during general season only. And so I have a whole month when archery season starts to hunt by myself, and so I'm freaking excited. So
dang,
hopefully be able to make it happen.
Your dad's gonna be jealous.
I hope so. I don't care. It's his fault. He's the one who got me into this.
Yeah, blame him. Blame him. Well, guys, this has been an awesome talk. I have enjoyed it a lot. I appreciate you guys taking time today to jump on here and just talk some hunting with us. It's been good to just hang out for a podcast episode or two, however this is going to get divvied up. So appreciate y'all coming on, man. Thank y'all.
Yeah, you bet. I'm glad to be here.
That was fun.
Well, guys, I'll give y'all my spiel before we go. If you haven't already, hit that follow and subscribe button on whatever podcast app you are listening on. We are on all major podcast platforms. Wherever you listen, we should be there, as well as our website, fallobsession.com, and our YouTube channel. Go check us out. Fallobsession.com is our hub. That's where you guys can find all of our content, videos, photos, reviews, wild game recipes, mini series, podcast, you name it, it's on there. So go check it out. Website just had a makeover too, so we got kind of a new setup on there too, so you guys need to go take a look. Fallobsession.com/podcast, that's where you guys can go to find our podcast episodes on our website, and there's a form on there where you guys can fill it out to provide feedback. If you have any topic or guest suggestions, general feedback, or questions you want to ask during an episode, you can shoot them over to us over there, and we'd be happy to throw them in an episode. Social media, Facebook, Instagram, go hit those up. Subscribe to our YouTube. We post daily on our socials, weekly new videos, multiple videos a week on our YouTube, and our podcast, if we haven't said already, comes out every single Monday morning. We're dropping a new episode, so a lot of good content there for you guys. I almost forgot too, because we moved it from the beginning to the end of the episode, but Elite Archery, go check those guys out too. They're good partners of ours. We're happy to be running their equipment. They're good quality equipment, so go give them a a follow on social, check out their website, and most importantly, go to your local dealer and shoot one if you haven't already. Check them out. And even if it's been years since you shot one, man, their new bows these days are rocking, and we believe in them. We wouldn't be using them if we didn't. So go to your local dealer and take the Elite Shootability Challenge for sure. Couple other quick things to throw in as we conclude. We have a new thing on our website called our Pro Shot Finder. We're basically trying to put together a list for you guys of vetted and approved archery shops that we trust and believe in across the entire United States. It's a small list. We're just starting out. We're building the foundation. We're starting to get new shops signing on from different parts of the country. So if you go to an archery shop and you trust them, you believe them, they're your guys. If you work at an archery shop, run an archery shop, or own an archery shop, feel free to reach out to us, fallobsession.com/proshopfinder, or you can just go to our website and you'll find it easily from there. But we want to hear about it. If you have a good shop, we want to know about them, we want to be able to talk to them, and we want to get them involved, because sharing information and sharing quality service like that is what we're here for. That's what we do and what we want to do. So we want to get them involved in our Pro Shop Finder if they're not already. So go check that out. It's a new feature. Also, we have a hunt coming up with some awesome guys with NABS, N-A-A-B-S, stands for North American Association of Blind Sportsmen. Other partners like Adapted Pursuits TV, JRA Adventures, Hunting for Vets, a lot of great organizations that we're partnering with to put together a charity hunt this fall for six blind or visually impaired sportsmen. They're all going on a mule deer hunt, a hunt that they wouldn't get to do otherwise. We're working with all these guys and Lance Mathena to put this together and make this happen. So if you guys want more info on that hunt or how you can help, how you can contribute, you can go to our website. It's on our homepage, or you can go to nabs.org and find more info on that. So throwing that out there for you guys as well. But I think I about hit everything and then some, so I think we're good to hang it up. But again, guys, appreciate y'all coming on. Nick, Drew, hope you guys have a good rest of your day, and hopefully it's not too long before we're all back on here together.
Yep. Thanks, Sam. And hey, yep. Everyone, like Sam said, make sure you like, follow, and subscribe on all of our different social media. Really, yep, help get that message out.
Absolutely. All right, guys, appreciate y'all coming on. Followers, listeners, thank you all for tuning in to another Monday episode, and we'll be back with you all again next week for another Fall Obsession podcast. We'll catch y'all then.
See you later.